Hi, everybody. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you are listening to Habits into Health, offering information and support when you want to turn a problem habit into a life-affirming behavior. This includes letting the body lead so your mind doesn't have to. Habits into Health supports a new way of approaching habit change and addiction recovery and just plain old personal growth by drawing first from your bodily experience, which focuses on your whole self. And of course, mental activity plays a role, but a supporting role in your pathway to change, rather than taking the lead. Let's talk about the topic for this episode, just briefly. A new health study was recently released that showed more than half of all cancer in the United States is preventable, and that we already know what we need to do collectively and individually to deal with it. How about that? The researchers recommend public health policy changes, and they also say that each of us can reduce our risk of cancer by following three basic lifestyle habits. Stop smoking, eat a balanced diet, and exercise regularly. Seems simple enough. But if you're struggling with any of these areas in your life, you know that it's harder than it sounds. In this episode, we'll talk about the responsibility blame continuum. While it's important to take responsibility and be accountable for any actions you can take to reduce your risk of cancer, it's also essential not to blame yourself for the situation you're in. Before we start, let's do a little experiment in being with yourself bodily and tuning in to your sensory experience. For this exercise, I invite you first to furrow your brow. That means just squeeze your forehead toward the center of your face. Do it just a little bit, say about 1%. And notice what happens around your eyes and the rest of your face. For instance, what happens with your cheeks as you do this with your forehead? And how do you experience your lips? Tune in to what's going on inside your mouth. And that includes the feeling of your teeth and your jaw and the placement and sensations of your tongue. Now undo the tension in your forehead and notice how your cheeks and your lips respond, even your jaw. You don't have to search for words to describe your experience, although if words come up, that's fine too. There is actually no right way to do this, believe it or not. What there is your way. Now try it again. Compress your forehead as if you're squeezing your eyebrows together, just a very small amount, enough to recognize that you're doing it without causing pain or discomfort. In fact, if you feel any pain or discomfort, it could be a signal that you've gone too far for yourself. And if this is the case, you can step back. Otherwise, feel free to amp up the tension another notch, say to 2%. And how does the rest of your face respond to this change? Do other parts of you join in the action? Maybe not just in your face, but in other parts of your body? Some people experience the muscle action only. Some people have memories emerge or associations, which are kind of like collections of memories that have created a meaning for you. Some people experience feeling states when they do this, and others experience all of these at one time or another. Just notice what your experience is. And then take the tension back 1% and pause for just a moment, giving yourself the chance to feel this change. And then you can ease back a little bit more and if you want a little bit more than that. What occurs in your lower face and head when you make this change upstairs in your forehead? You might wonder, what is this all about and why does it matter? Well, when I was first introduced to this way of being with myself from a man named Stanley Kellerman, it was like discovering a whole new universe. It was discovering my own personal anatomy. And this is intrinsically valuable, just like the beauty of a sunset doesn't have to have words. It is different from reading an anatomy book, this feeling and experiencing yourself, isn't it? This is about self-knowing, because even though we humans are built from the same genetic template and we recognize each other as different from other creatures or things, each of us is unique. We are similar enough to have shared experiences and resonate with each other, but different enough to have our own individual response to these experiences. And the truth is, you are not just an object moving through space from one place to another, or through time from one minute to the next. You are a shape shifter. Simple exercises like this give you a personal experience of your own capacity for changing yourself by working with the connections in all of your cells. I'm reminded of the old children's song. I looked it up because I couldn't remember the name of it. It's called Dem Bones, and it was written by a very talented man. He was an African-American professor and diplomat. His name was James Weldon Johnson. And you may recognize this song. It starts with the toe bones connected to the ankle bone, and then it goes all the way up the body. You are that. You are an energetic field from the toe bone to the head bone. Why not appreciate this by experiencing yourself firsthand with intention and respect? Speaking of intention, in each episode of Habits into Health, I invite you to invest in yourself for a few minutes by actively working with something in yourself in the moment. How can you change something if you haven't fully explored the nature of what you're doing? It's not enough to have an idea, because more often than not, ideas are on the surface. A lot of us are very psychologically aware. We know what our habits are, and most of us have an idea of where we learned those behaviors. But we don't necessarily tune in to another route, and that's to create your changes by attending below the surface in the body. By in the body, I mean more than just the mechanical exercises that you might do at a gym or on a treadmill at home. This is a different level of attending to yourself, almost on a cellular level, to get to the base of how you are in you, how you are you. And you can explore more by listening to other episodes of this podcast on iTunes, or you can go to habitsintohealth.com and clicking on the podcast menu. You're listening to Michael Ann Conley, and you can also find me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and Twitter as well. So, the topic for this episode. I want to support you by saying a few things about the responsibility-blame continuum. It's important to take responsibility and be accountable for any actions you can take to reduce your risk of cancer, yet without blame for the situation you're in. There's a lot of mindset around these days that implies that if you are addicted, or if you have cancer, or if something is going on health-wise, that you have created that, that you're to blame for that. And I simply don't believe that that's true. We are responsible for managing what happens to us in our lives. One thing that helps me is a prayer. It was written back in the 1930s or 1940s by a theologian. His name was Reinhold Niebuhr. I think that's how it's pronounced. Anyway, the prayer's been adapted over the years. It may sound familiar. It goes like this. Grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Let's keep it up front as we go forward. In late March 2012, the Siteman Cancer Center in St. Louis released a study showing that more than half of all cancer in the United States is not only preventable, but we already know what to do to deal with it in terms of public policy as well as individually. In fact, changes on the societal level do have an effect. For example, legislation to restrict smoking in public places is becoming much more common around the world, and it has helped to reduce lung cancer rates, but not enough. The researchers in St. Louis, they're affiliated with Washington University, they say that one-third of all preventable cancer in the U.S. is directly related to smoking. I'll talk more about this specific habit in another episode, but for now, let's talk more generally, because the underlying mechanism for change is similar for every human habit. And whatever habit you're struggling with, you know that making the change is a lot harder than it sounds, whether what you're dealing with is smoking or some other habit. It really, on some level, has to be dealt with in the dance between responsibility and blame. So in this dance, do you get caught between being apologetic and defensive or angry, or maybe both? Maybe you've tried to deal with this habit for years, on and off. Or maybe you had it handled for a long time and recently picked it back up again. Do you have someone in your life who's nagging you to stop or pleading with you to get help? Do you feel discouraged, but also upset at being reminded that this habit has you in its grip? Perhaps it feels embarrassing or irritating, you know, as if this is something you can't change no matter what. Or is this really within your ability to master with the right kind of help? And by right, I mean right for you, not for somebody else. It can be a whole lot easier, or feel a lot easier, to get mad at yourself or at your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, for nagging you, or even to blame the community for passing laws to restrict you. Many people who smoke feel this way, for instance. At the same time, it's not at all helpful in creating change to play the blame game, is it? So, by inviting in the courage to change what you can, perhaps you can start by asking yourself first off, is what you've been doing sustainable? And I invite you, as you listen to me asking the questions, I invite you to notice what happens in your body when you consider the question. Is this habit something that you can continue to do the level you've been doing it without consequences that diminish the quality of your life or even the length of your life? When you're in the midst of this activity, how do you feel about yourself and others? Does it enhance your life or your relationships, or does it create problems? Many of our human habits are actually good things to have. If you feel a rush when you participate in the habit, or some kind of exhilaration, how high does this go? And is there a crash on the other side? If your habit leads you to a lot of experience of extremes, then even if the habit makes you feel good in the moment, that opposite side of the crash suggests that you need to find more balance with it. Can you talk honestly with yourself about the consequences of your habit without putting yourself down? It might sound like, yep, I went on a binge last night and now I have a hangover as a result, instead of, yep, I went on a binge last night and I'm an idiot. It might be, I don't really like these stains on my fingers or the hacking in the morning. It's time to get help. Instead of, I'm never going to be able to stop this. I never get anything right anyway. Of course, the Serenity Prayer invites wisdom to know the difference between what we can't change and what we can. Psychologists say that people who believe they're more in charge of their own lives are happier. In fact, there is a difference between praying to an outside entity to take care of you and developing a living prayer that exists through your own daily behavior. I'm going to say so long for now. I hope this episode has been helpful in reinforcing your capacity to face your challenges. In the coming weeks, I'll talk more specifically about the three lifestyle habits that increase your risk of cancer: smoking, diet, and exercise, and ways to approach these that work for you. Let's work together to support you in creating your change of habit. As always, I welcome your questions and comments at habitsintohealth.com. And as I said earlier, you can find me on Facebook at Habits Into Health with Michael Ann Conley. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future.